talk about the coronavirus today. Who's been talking about the coronavirus? I haven't got to talk about the coronavirus. But I want to talk about this young fella first before we get into it. It's Shane Tuck, the young fella on the left there. He took his life this week. 38 years old. That's his father on the right of him. His father played 400 odd games for Hawthorn. Shane's a father of two young kids, married. Doesn't make any sense. And when I talk about, I'm going to talk about the coronavirus and stuff shortly, but there's a lot of people out there that are struggling, who are really, really struggling. And to get to a point where you've got to take your life just doesn't make sense to me. He must have been low. And so I just want to pray for the Tuck family. And that brings me to the silly picture on the right, which is Josh and a good friend of mine, Craig Turner. Had some wonderful news 2 weeks ago that Craig is now the chaplain for Basketball South Australia, in particular their umpires, which is 800 people who need help, who are struggling with life. Funnily enough, so we were out to for a meal with Craig and a couple other blokes, and it was all signed off and all the rest of it. We got home, and within the space of 2 hours, we had news of somebody who had attempted to take their life, and Craig got in touch with them. People stepping into the gap and stepping up for God, and God arranging for that to happen is just amazing. So just before we start the sermon, I want to pray for the Tuck family and for all those people out there that are struggling. I can't understand, but I know, God, that you're in charge. I want to pray for the people like Craig also that are stepping up and making a difference and being part of God's movement, being there for people that need help. Be with us this morning. Guide my words as we talk about these matters. In Jesus' name, amen. Might click over to the next. Don't click over to the next slide. Oh, too late. You already have. There you go. Who would rather be there right now? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, where is it? It's where I'd like. So I want to talk about how the world's gone nuts. Everyone agree the world's gone a little bit nuts? Yeah, not so much here. I had a good night last night at the football, even though my team lost. But the world's gone mad. And if you want to know why we've lit a candle down the front here, that's what we need all of us to be, is to be the candle and be the light to the world for Jesus. I've done a lot of things over the last few months. It's been good fun. The kids would know we've watched a few zombie movies. Part of me wonders whether we're like in a zombie apocalypse without the zombies. I'm waiting for the zombies to come in the door. Not so much now with the world opening up, but it was crazy there for a while. Like, you'd go to work, you'd come home, you'd go to sleep, wake up, go to work, come home. Kids staying home, homeschooling. It's just weird. There's this virus everywhere, but does anyone near here know anybody who's actually got it? Yeah. I know one person. Yeah. That's it. So no one here knows anybody this virus, and yet this zombie apocalypse is going on without the zombies. None of us know anything about it, and yet the world's gone nuts. Strange, isn't it? Yeah. So we've got our friends across the road in Victoria who are basically closed. We've got New South Wales who are going down the same road. And then we've got toilet paper. We can put the next slide up. If you want to talk about the world going mad, we've got armed gangs stealing toilet rolls. Yeah. Do you remember the toilet paper fiascos? You couldn't get toilet paper. And so we're using tissues and the three seashells, if you've seen that movie. It's just panic everywhere. No one coping with life. On the next slide, I want to tell you what God's got to say here. In 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear and of worrying about toilet paper, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." That doesn't sound to me like God's told us that we need to worry and panic and be anxious about any of these matters. That we can rest in God and know that God's got it under control. Yes? Amen. God's given us a spirit of joy and of, boys, hope. She's not here. That's wasted. So I guess as part of that, don't be silly. Don't ignore the rules. They're doing what they can, the government's as best as they can. But know that we can rest in God and God's got it under control. Amen? Amen. Good. So be, as part of that candle, We've got people out there, like the Shane Tucks of the world, that are looking for that hope and are looking for that light and don't know where to find it. You and I are different. We know where to find it. We know that God's that. They don't know where to find it, and they're panicking. So our job is to be the candle and to light the world. Now, talking with the kids, my teenage kids at the back here, kids have this idea that the world's never been here before. This is the end of the world and we've never done this before. We've done pandemics before. Not in our lifetimes, but we've done pandemics before. So next slide, Geordie, if I got this right. Here's my little science lesson for everybody here. So on the left there is a reflection of all the plagues in terms of the number of people that passed away. We're not going to make light of this at all, but that big purple one on the top left was the bubonic plague of the 1300s, if you can remember that, anybody. That wiped out 30 to 50% of Europe. Wow. That began in rats and spread to humans by infected fleas. That's fascinating stuff. The next one, smallpox, that killed 56 million people, and that resulted in the first ever vaccine. So that's quite a significant one. Then you had the Spanish flu. Then you've got the plague of Justinian. Now, this is a little bit of an interesting one. So this is in the mid-500s. Killed 30 to 50 million, they're not sure. I think the records are probably a little worn out by now, but they say, some people say it helped end the Roman Empire, and I love this bit. The doctors tried for people drinking water and vinegar and having them carry flowers around all day, thinking that that would make a difference. It's just, they don't know what's going on. 30 to 50 million people. HIV and AIDS has killed 25 to 35 million, and then it's COVID-19 down the bottom. So we're not going to pretend that it's not a significant thing. But if you look at those numbers on the left of those tens of millions or even hundreds of millions, the world's done this before. And what did we learn out of that? God's got it under control. We also learned the idea that maybe you should carry flowers around all day and drink vinegar. What I found during the break, and Colin, you spoke about rest. What I found was rest. I did a lot of resting. Did a lot of work, but a lot of resting too. Resting was good. I spent a lot of time with the kids, getting to know my kids probably better than I knew them before. And we played a lot of Fortnite, didn't we? Yeah. Dad got a couple of wins. And then Nick joined us playing Fortnite. That was good. I think you got a win as well, Nick. Good times. The rest was good. And it reminded me that even during bad times, there's opportunities. There's opportunities for things. And the opportunity can be to get close to God. On the next slide. In the words of Ecclesiastes, this is where Solomon's writing some good ideas, and he writes down that there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. So there's a time for rest. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot. So I won't read them all, but you can see the idea that there's a time to do good things and a time for bad things. There's a time for positives, there's a time for negatives and so on. But I want you to look at that one on the top right there. I think Solomon knew what was coming. There's a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. So stop embracing. Yeah. Stop shaking hands with everybody. Interesting, isn't it? That the words of Solomon will come through now. Has anybody got any family over in Victoria? Yep. Yeah. How are they doing? Not good? I read a newspaper article this morning of a guy who found out that basically his mum's going to pass away. Dad can't visit mum in her final days. Son knows that he'll never see them again. And you think, it's horrible and nasty in a way that most of us don't understand. Yep. But I just want you to think of this next Bible verse, if we put it up, Geordie, in Psalm 46:10. That's it. Be still and know that I'm God. So when we talk about past pandemics and we talk about the awful situation that the world's in right now, pretty much everywhere in the world but South Australia almost, be still and know that I'm God. I want to try something. Can we all close our eyes? Some of you will know the song that goes along this. So if you know the song, just want you to sing it with me, with your eyes closed, and let God's peace come upon you. Be be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. It's good, isn't it? Amidst the hurry and the flurry and all the madness of the world and all the panic out there, that you can stop and know that God is God. God's good. God's got it under control. Don't do it often enough. Who watches the news? I know Mike doesn't. Is that the message of the news? Newspapers, of television, panic, hyperbole. I was thinking about the three K's, the crows, the coronavirus, and the Kardashians. I might have that wrong. but it's all dramatized. No one's in control. Everything's going to end. By the way, buy my newspaper subscription. By the way, listen to my news, because I'm going to have more bad news tomorrow night. If you don't listen to my news, you don't know what's going on. God has got it under control. Yeah. Stop and breathe every now and then. And that's a really easy song to learn, by the way, if you don't know that song. It's just that line three times. If you're driving in your car and you're a little bit panicky and you're thinking, what's going to go on today? Sit there and sing that song for a moment. And what I've learned is, and boys, this is particularly for you as you're growing up, you can't control things. Yeah? The amount of the world that you control is this tiny, tiny little bit. Maybe 5% of your life is in your control. The rest is out of your control. So if there's going to be a coronavirus, if someone's going to do something silly to you and hurt you, you don't have a lot of control over it. Who has control? God does. Are you pointing up then, or are you pointing at me? Yes, Dad's in control as well. Yes, believe it, more than you know. But it's interesting you say Dad's in control. On the next slide, I'm going to get in trouble for this one. I have never felt more out of control than as a parent. Yep. It's tough as a parent. So that's two of my kids. That's my two favourite kids. Hey, Josh. Hey, Daniel. That's a couple of hospital visits we had. So that's Jonty on the left. You'll see on the left of his mouth, he basically cut his lip open. That was nasty because we had plastic surgeons talk to us, and they were basically saying, as long as he didn't split the bit between the skin, the skin of your face and the lip, he'd be fine and it will heal okay. If he'd split that, he was in big trouble. I still can't remember how you did that. Bunk bed. Oh, fell and hit his chin on the bed. The one on the right is my daughter, Hope. That elbow looks a little bit weird. That was a tough day. One of the parents involved suggested that she was faking it. No, that was me. I suggested she was faking it. But that was a hard day, because to watch your little baby girl in so much pain, the elbow was shattered. And to know that there's nothing I can do about it. There's no control. And kids will do this. You've got young kids, so I'll say it to you. That's going to happen to you. Yep. You're going to have kids do stupid things. And you're going to get calls to the hospital. And you're going to go, I don't know what they're up to. They're testing things. They're trying things. You never learn more than with kids that you don't have control of anything at all. Yeah. You've got to trust in God. And for us, with Hope's little elbow there, to pray for the doctors, to pray to God that her bones would knit. At the time, they actually said there's a fair chance that her arm won't grow, and that the growth part of the arm basically won't knit together, and she'd have one long arm and one short arm when she got older. Whilst it would have been funny, I thank God that it didn't happen. Yeah, and the fact that we had no control at all. It's tough. You know, when those things happen is when people watch you, to watch you see what your reaction is. Are you going to panic, or are you going to go, it's okay, God's got this? It'll be all right. I'm going to pray and trust that God's got it okay, rather than in a mad panic. Do you remember that, by the way, Hope? Pauline, I should say. Yeah, it was awful. They look for us to be calm, to be that candle, to be a light that doesn't panic. Speaking of panic, I just want to shout out to the Taff family. We talk about the bakery. What the world wants to see from us is that we're still helping and we're still supporting. We've had a lot of fun during this COVID time, bringing bakery goods on Saturday nights to people. We've had to measure out social distancing. We've had to tell people to stand apart. We've had people waiting out in the rain. We've been out in the rain. It's been an interesting journey. But if you think people aren't watching what you're doing, if you think people aren't seeing that candle, if you think people aren't seeing God's love, despite all the chaos and panic, that's what that's about. It's got nothing to do with food. So, thank you. I want to see what Jesus says. If you could put up the next slide. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Greatest sermon ever told. Matthew 6, 25 to 33. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. Anyone looked at the birds of the air? Yeah, they have a great time. They don't seem too worried. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns or Woolworths or Coles, and yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than them? Can any one of you, by worrying about what's going on, add a single hour to your life? Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin, yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow and then thrown into the fire, will God not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Stop worrying. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Here is the clincher. This is the key bit of that whole sermon. The whole Christian faith wrapped up in one nutshell. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and then all of those things will be given to you too. Yep. So don't worry about toilet paper. Don't worry that you can't see your mum or your dad in hospital. That's hard. Don't worry about the coronavirus. Seek God's kingdom. Be that light to people. Be that candle. And I'm not saying it's that easy. I'm not going to get in the idea that it's that easy. But to me, it's three words. God is good. Hold your fingers out, boys. Count this for me. God is good. It'll be okay. It'll's one word. God's got this. Yeah? You with me? And that candle's you. And that's you. That's your job. Yeah? Good? I'll do three each time. Good. Next slide. Paul's writing to the Philippians. And he's giving the Philippians some instructions on how to live life and everything. And he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We won't sing this one. It's a good song, though. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'm going to keep doing this until you say it louder. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Okay. So when, boys? Always. When? When did I ask? Yeah. Now, the thing is, if you heard someone say to you, rejoice in the Lord always, you'd think, oh yeah, but you know, haven't been through what I've been through. Yeah, you haven't seen the things I've seen. I can't rejoice in the Lord always because my life's been tough. Your life's been easy. Skip to the next slide. I want to tell you a little bit about Paul. This is Paul. Paul's telling some stories in a letter to the Corinthians. I've worked much harder, been jailed more often, beaten up more times than I can count, and at death's door time after time. I've been flogged, whipped, 5 times with the Jews, 39 lashes. Look up that if you don't know what that means. I've been beaten by Roman rods 3 times. I've been pummeled with rocks once. He was stoned. Not that stoned. I've been shipwrecked 3 times, and I've been immersed in the open sea for a night and day. So when Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, I think he's got a little bit of street cred, yeah? Yeah? So you say, oh, but my life's been bad. Paul doesn't know, understand how difficult it's been for me. You don't know how difficult it's been for Paul. Paul did that, and yet he said, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say rejoice. Amen. And because of that, Paul can say this. Next slide. Philippians 4, 6 to 8. This comes immediately after rejoice in the Lord always. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Take them to God. And the peace of God, I think we all want that, particularly now, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So your job, brothers and sisters, finally, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, spend your time thinking about such things. Yes? The musicians want to come. I've got some bad news. We might end up in lockdown again. Yeah? We may not be meeting as a church after this week, heaven forbid, for another 6 months. It could be longer. But Paul knew that when the world goes crazy, we can be that. I hope this isn't too hot or it'll burn me. We can be that to the world. And it seems like such a little thing, little candle, doesn't it? But if this room was dark, that candle has an enormous impact there. Everyone agree the world's a bit dark? It's getting darker every day. Yeah. So that tiny little candle can make a massive difference. It's a candle that just sits there and it's lit up and it lights up and doesn't go out until, of course, all the wax is gone. You can be that. That's all you have to be. Trust in God. If we just pray. Lord, I want to pray right now for those who are troubled in what's an awfully troubling time. For us, enjoy what's happening every day. Enjoy the little things and rejoice in the Lord always. Let us help people who need helping. Let us be there for those who are struggling. And let us be still and know that God is God. God is good. God's got this. It'll be okay. Let us be the candle for this dark, dark world. We pray for those in the medical community who are giving so much for all of us in this horrible time. We pray for the Tuck family. We pray for all those who have lost loved ones during this time. And that no matter what happens, as the old hymn says, He's got the whole world in His hands.
Praise you.
Amen.